What up, Long Beach? Hope you and yours are healthy and happy right now. This is going to be our attempt at a Long Beach sports podcast in these strange times. Obviously, local sports aren't the most important thing right now, but for people who are involved in them, it's their life.
Yeah.
So it still carries some importance, and by the end of this podcast, hopefully, all of the information will be presented, because that's what we do, and that's all we can do right now. As always, I am JJ Fiddler, and across the table, he's Mike Artabasio.
What's going on, everybody? What up, Long Beach? Brought to you by the Long Beach Post. As JJ mentioned, we do a lot of stuff for the Long Beach Post, but that stuff is changing in real time along with every other aspect of our society.
Rapidly, if you will.
We normally do a high school and college wrap-up for the Post as well. If you go to lbpost.com right now, what you'll see instead is just sort of some different looks at the way that the COVID-19 virus and the attempt to contain it have affected the local sports scene. Which obviously is what we're going to be talking about on this episode of What Up Long Beach as well.
We got to timestamp it because everything is changing by the minute at this point.
It is 2:26 p.m. on Thursday, and if you're wondering how important that timestamp is, on Monday, joking about this virus wasn't considered a bad thing for Rudy Gobert to have done.
Truth.
Particularly. And on Wednesday night, the NBA had canceled its games. When we spoke with More League Secretary Lisa Ulmer, she clarified every single response she had to one of my questions with, as of 2:09 p.m. on Thursday, as of 2:11 p.m. on Thursday. So we're recording 2:30 p.m. Thursday afternoon. And obviously, as things change, you can stay tuned to the 562.org and the Long Beach Post for the updates about what's changing.
Usually, we do our O the Week segment. Obviously, we're not going to do that today, and we're not going to break for commercials. So shout out to Naples Rib Company, the sponsor of this podcast and everything else at the 562.org. A lot of local businesses are going to be struggling soon. So when you do get back out, make sure you visit those local businesses that support local business, because we're all going to have to gather as a community when this thing's over.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, throughout it as well, just anything you can do to support a local business rather than just rushing to Target or whatever. I mean, if you're going out for supplies, consider, you know, trying to buy it from something that isn't a corporation. Because they'll, I mean, obviously the stock market's taking a huge bath, but it's going to be a little easier for Target to bounce back than a local restaurant, obviously.
No doubt. How many times did we talk about this on the LB30 back in the day? It was like, oh, yeah, look at all of these small businesses being run out of different places because the rent's too high.
Right.
This is only going to make that worse. So, yeah, we do have to rally, circle the wagons a little bit. I did want to start before we get into all the pertinent information by saying this is very serious. And no, these are not overreactions. We've had multiple people who work in local sports contact us and say, is this really this bad?
Is this hysteria? Is it overblown? Are we doing too much?
No.
Exactly. You know, et cetera. And yeah, from our perspective, no. I mean, and I think you just do a cost-benefit analysis. Say that we are doing too much. What is that going to cost us? We're all going to be bummed out that there's no NBA, there's no NCAA tournament games. But then everyone's healthy and we all resume and whatever. But if we're not doing enough, look at Italy. Look at the reporting coming out of Italy, which is not a third world country, which is not, you know, I mean, my wife was joking. She's like, that's one of the countries people have heard of, you know?
Yeah.
And it's horrifying to imagine a national quarantine.
Some of the videos out of Italy are horrifying. That's the best word for it.
Yeah. And, you know, that could be, you know, I mean, hopefully not. We have some things about where we are that are a little bit more advantageous to fighting a virus like this than Italy or China. You know, we're not quite as closely packed on top of each other. The social distancing is a little easier to carry out. But yeah, just to be clear up top, from our perspective, this is not people going too far.
No.
I think that will be clear within the next few days if it's not clear to you already. And let me just stress as well, just listen to what the World Health Organization and the CDC are telling you. If
yes.
they say wash your hands for 20 seconds, hum the frickin' happy birthday song, or do the What Up Long Beach, welcome back to the 562. Like,
nice.
Do the intro in your head, whatever you want to do. But, like, wash your hands, do the social distancing. JJ and I are sitting 6 feet apart from each other to record, as we always do.
As always.
But a best case scenario is that we're doing too much. You know what I mean? We should all be rooting for that we're doing too much.
Am I the only one who got lambasted with better safe than sorry growing up from everyone, including my teachers and my
all
coaches?
The time.
That's like on the top three of things I got told as a child.
If you thought you had a 91 in the class, you'd still do the extra credit. What did it cost you?
Better
safe
than sorry.
Like, better safe than sorry, 100%.
Yes.
So we're going to explore some of the from the ground up, the changes that are happening to the local sports schedule and how that's affecting people. And because JJ and I obviously report more on the people, I think, than on the games, this is just a new set of stories for us to tell. I mean, we're going to talk about, when we talk about the college basketball tournament, we'll talk about KJ Fagan and what this means to him. So from as far as I'm concerned, we're still storytellers. We're still going to be doing the stuff we do. It's just that the central part of that reporting, the game result, obviously doesn't exist for the time being.
But humans still exist.
Yeah.
And that's why we like sports, is because it's the perfect stage for humans to be humans. And I think that we also need to kind of extend this to the schools, because it isn't just sports. Any sports that Mike and I cover usually are tied to a school. So really, we're talking about decisions made by the Long Beach Unified School District or the Big West Conference or Long Beach State as a university, not just as an athletic department. Because, like, for example, if you wanted to cancel school or stop having kids come to school for an extended period of time, you're literally talking about not letting some of those kids eat, because some kids in Long Beach do rely on the meals at school.
Yeah,
well, that's facts.
Right, and we'll get into, as we're talking about each level of this, I think it's also important to, like you said, talk about, you know, I've seen a ton of people on Twitter blasting Mayor Garcia saying you need to shut the schools down, and him saying, like, listen, we have really competent people who run our schools, and I'm not one of them.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that's something we should talk about as well, because everyone's sort of yelling at everyone about what should be shut down, and I think it's worth making sure everyone understands this is whose responsibility this is.
Well, yeah, let's start there. Let's start with Unified School District.
Well, before we do that, I think what we didn't talk, let's talk Grand Prix real quick, because I think that's the thing that's most likely to change from when we're recording this to when we go out. At the moment, it's still scheduled. And so IndyCar is maintaining. They're going to go forward with their schedule. The Grand Prix would take place in mid-April. Now, IndyCar's upcoming race in St. Pete, they just announced before we recorded, will not have spectators at the race. It is still going to go on, and so we'll see. I would be shocked if the Grand Prix happens, personally.
Agreed.
I'd say
shocked if the Grand Prix happened like it usually always does.
Yeah, but I don't even, I mean, you know, when the governor puts out guidelines saying, hey, our public health people are saying anything with more than 250 people needs to be canceled. Like, there's more than 250 people just in the pits.
In the paddock.
Yeah, right.
You don't even have to get on the track. Just the people who move the cars, there's more than 250.
So, and, you know, these are athletes and crew members who are flying in from all over the world and the country. So, I'm not saying I want something to happen one way or the other. It's just difficult for me to imagine with the momentum and the speed that things are changing with. Number one, yes, that it would happen as it normally happens, but it's increasingly difficult to imagine it happening at all.
And you can also imagine a situation in which if things were given the old all clear in the middle of April, and then they come out and run that race, they might not see the crowd sizes that they usually see because of obvious concerns from the public.
I take the media entrance in anyway, okay? But like, yeah, I mean, those concerns, obviously, as we've discussed, are warranted. Okay, so that's the Grand Prix. Obviously, that's the question everyone's asking from a sports perspective.
Right, because, and I think we need to say this up top, too. Like, the cancellation of sports, or when sports get involved in social issues, some people who aren't involved in sports have the natural, well, sports don't matter, move aside, let the real things that matter handle this. However, the NBA canceling the rest of its season is the reason why people started taking it seriously. Tom Hanks getting sick is the reason why people started taking it seriously. Those were the big moves where it was like, oh, wow, billions of dollars are being sacrificed for this thing. These owners, these people are not dumb. Okay? This is a $1 trillion industry, is sports.
Yeah.
So when these things get moved, rescheduled, canceled, suspended, that's kind of the telltale sign that it's more serious than you might have thought.
Well, you and I talked about, I hate to even talk about this on the podcast, but like, people, whenever something like this comes up, I've seen a bunch of people on Twitter, like, and obviously on Facebook, being like, oh, the media is blowing everything out of proportion. The agenda is to scare you and all this. It's like, you know, we're recording at the Post. These people have been working 24 hours a day to try and give people an accurate understanding of what's happening. And I'll tell you, like, if you know us, I'm telling you, like, we know them. No one's in this trying to make money off of scaring people. Like,
for real.
When the nation of Italy shuts down its streets, it's not because the media spooked them into doing it. When the National Basketball Association says, hey, we've had the spotlight for the last 2 months, and this looks like it's going to be a historic playoffs. You know what? This is so serious. We have to shut this whole thing down. It's not because they're of the media.
Rachel Nichols don't have that sway.
Like, no one has that sway. This is that's real money, okay? That's not like public perception or whatever else. So, again, you and I are operating in this podcast, and our coverage will operate from the assumption that public health officials are being honest about this threat and that the response to it has not been overblown.
Yes.
So, all right.
Agreed.
Jumping into the LBUSD response, this is as of, again, Thursday, 2:30 in the afternoon. Schools are not closing. And I've seen a lot of people complaining about that. It says here in the FAQ, which you can find at lbschools.net. It's also on our Twitter. Look, if you don't want to send your kid to school, don't send your kid to school. No one's going to send the cops to your house. It's that simple. There are a lot of what's unique about the LBUSD is there are a lot of suburban families with maybe a stay-at-home parent who right now are going, I don't want to send my kids to school. That's totally your right. No one's trying to kidnap your kids and make them go to school.
Right.
Keep your kids home. But you have to understand this is a school district that also cares deeply about the 15% of their students who don't have the internet, who aren't going to be able to access school resources.
Don't have the internet, don't have anybody to watch them during the day because their parents are working, don't have anywhere to eat.
There's a huge percentage of the district that's on a meal plan. The students get their breakfast and their lunch at school. So before they even shut the schools down, the schools are going to feel the responsibility to come up with some kind of a food resource for those kids. And on top of all that, there's students who are homeless. Or as you said, I mean, the Chris Calliope, the head of Taub, said, like,
Teachers Association.
Yeah, excuse me. The head of the teachers union said, like, what we're worried about with this is, like, there are going to be second graders who are home by themselves during a pandemic because their single parent can't get off work to watch them.
Can't have that.
And that's what we're looking at. So again, if you're one of those people who's just atting LB schools all the time on Twitter or whatever, just take your kid out of school. That's fine. But you have to think about the wider implications for a 70,000 student urban school district where literally 1 in 7 residents of this city is a student in the LBUSD. So, I mean, as my wife said, my wife teaches at Jordan. She said, you can't shut the schools down until everything's shut down.
Yes.
And that's just what it comes down to. I mean, and look, I felt nervous dropping my kids off. I don't feel good about it. It's weird. And it is, frankly, the kind of situation that should be concerning in a situation like this. Mm-hmm. You have kids from all over the community coming together into a room, you know, 25 of them in a room together to teach them. They all go back home with their grandma or whoever, right? I mean, like, that's what we're worried about. But at the same time, like, we don't have the public infrastructure. We don't have guaranteed medical leave for people. We don't have hourly employees that can afford to go home and still be able to pay the rent.
The government can't even figure out how to give people money if they're missing work because they have coronavirus.
So, you know what I'm
saying? Can't even figure that out. The national government.
So all I would say, and look, we talked about this on our Twitter and Facebook too. There's frustrations and tension are understandably high. You're not helping anything by yelling online.
True.
You know, so understand that there's human beings on every side of these decisions. There's human beings in the classroom teaching your kids. There's human beings employing those teachers to try and make sure they can teach your kids. Everyone just has the best thing in mind. It's just that this has never happened before. They just closed Disneyland, which has happened in the last 60 years twice for JFK's assassination, September 11th, and this. So there's not a blueprint on how to do this stuff.
I'll play a little bit of devil's advocate and say that there's also a little bit of, well, we don't want somebody to come to our thing and get sick because then we'll have to wear that forever, right? Like, there is also a little self-protection from the NBA, the NHL, Disneyland.
Of course.
It's like, we don't want people to come in here and then get sick and then be like, well, if you're going to go to Disneyland, you're going to get sick. Like,
right.
I think that's also part of it. But if it's that serious, their reaction to it matches the seriousness of it, and which should answer everyone's question, are we overreacting? No.
Well, and that was going to be my other case. Like, I wouldn't say that the LBUSD is a gung-ho, reckless organization. Like, from my perspective, they're always much too timid and worried about litigation and everything, which is what tells me this is a genuine concern about the welfare of their students.
Big things move
slowly. That they're staying open. Yeah. So, anyway, as far as that affects sports, there are going to be major changes to sports. Number one, you know, the governor said anything with more than 250 people. So you've probably already seen most of the, I think there's only one track meet going on this weekend that hasn't been canceled.
Now that's just in California.
At the high school level. Yeah, that's for California.
Yes. So California wide, it's not just like the Long Beach Unified School District has
Fresno
decided that things
to
don't.
From Redding to the Bay.
California
to
wide. 250 is the limit.
Yeah.
So think about that for a second. There are certain sports you could play.
Well, like, so track and field. Track and field is the first thing. I woke up today and basically, like, all of the major track and field events for
can't
this month have been canceled.
It's way more than 250 yeah. people in there.
There is going to be an issue, an effort, specifically in the LBUSD. They're going to carry on right now, as of Thursday afternoon, with the Moore League schedule. So that means this afternoon, two Moore League teams, two Long Beach Unified School District high schools, are scheduled to play each other in a boys volleyball match. They're still playing. Anything that's outside of the league or the district on non-league events are going to be canceled. So if Wilson baseball was going to play La Mirada baseball, that game is canceled. If Wilson baseball is going to play Jordan baseball, they're not going to be able to play it at Blair Field because of shutdowns with Long Beach State.
We'll get to that.
They're going to play it at the high school campus field. So those are the events, and basically the only events in the city athletically that are going to go on. There are major changes, and we've been asked by the school board as well as Lisa Ulmer, the Moore League secretary, to flash this in big all capital letters. No one other than athletes and coaches and officials will be allowed at the sporting events. Yes, that includes you. Whoever you are that's hoping there's an exception for you, they're asking you, do not come to this Polly Wilson swim meet on Friday because you've been to the previous 70 of them and you just can't miss it. JJ and I are going to be out there busting our asses, covering everything, filming everything to make sure that video coverage exists of these sporting events. But because of those guidelines issued by the governor, spectators will not be allowed at the high school sporting events that are still going on in Long Beach. And you need to understand that and respect that, because we don't need you creating a scene with the CSO at the door of a swim meet.
Because the CSO is not the person who made that decision. It's just their job to enforce the decision made by the literal governor of the state of California.
Well, and the school district, I mean, this is what they've found to be the middle ground. Places like Los Al and La Mirada, I think so. You know, going on, like, continuing the sports schedule. Because as Lisa Ulmer said, she's like, where are our kids going to go, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
Los Alamitos just shut down their spring sports schedule.
You said baseball on campus. How many people, on average, do you think show up to a baseball game on campus at 3 o'clock on Tuesday?
30 people.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Right.
So I see how it would be silly to
cancel that. But there's going to be...
If the kids are in school already.
Right. Exactly. But there's going to be 200 people saying, well, why won't they let me come to this baseball game?
Right.
The other thing that's difficult, I mean, imagine, for example, Wilson, Lakewood, Milliken, and Poly baseball games on their campus fields. Describe for me the mechanism by which you keep people from watching those games.
That's true.
You can't keep people off the sidewalk. You know what I mean?
That is true.
But I think especially if you're talking about swim meets, volleyball matches, badminton matches,
anything
that's
in a gym, anything inside. Yeah.
Don't come to that.
Yeah, anything inside.
I'm not going to tell you don't stand on top of your fire engine and watch the Lakewood baseball game next week. I mean, that's, you know, you're outside or whatever, right?
And you own a fire engine, so do what you want.
But don't go and try and sit in the stands so you can heckle the ump or whatever. So that's high school sports. Moore League sports only are going on. And to be clear, this is so specific to the LBUSD that Lisa Ulmer asked us to clarify. There are school districts.
Lisa Ulmer is the Moore League secretary, by the way. Some people don't know who that is.
There are school districts and schools who compete in the Moore League for one sport only. For example, Ellen Ochoa Prep is in the Moore League for lacrosse only.
How about the Burroughs?
The Burroughs
champions
Burroughs.
Of the Moore League gymnastics world.
All of those events will be canceled. It's only Moore League games between LBUSD high schools and Compton High School. Those are the only events that will continue. And we're going to post, we'll start posting a schedule and stuff so you know what's still going on. But to be honest with you, I almost don't want to do it because I don't want you to show up. Just follow our Twitter account and enjoy the coverage. We will get the photos and the articles and the videos out to make sure that everyone can see what's going on in the city.
Now, the reason why the LBUSD can't just say, okay, we're going to do this and now everybody else is going to do what we do, is because each school district, as large or as small as they are going to have to decide how they're going to deal with this issue. That is why CIF Southern Section and Long Beach Guy Rob Wygod, the commissioner of the CIF Southern Section, put out a release that basically hit those hot spots and explained what the deal is. It's kind of like a frequently asked questions style. It was just released today. The first one is, does the CIF Southern Section have a plan in place in case of an outbreak within section schools? And the response is, the CIF Southern Section is too large, both in numbers of schools and the geographic area, to have a, quote, one-size-fits-all response to the virus. We believe that this is an important decision, blah, 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 regarding the schools to do what the district tells you to do. That's basically the CIF Southern Section's take is, listen to your district. That's who's going to decide whether or not you're playing, whether or not spectators are allowed, and all that other stuff. They also asked,
and just really to back that up one half second, the reason for that is literally half of the high schools in the state of California, which is the second biggest state for high school sports, half of those schools are in the Southern Section.
It's massive.
So Rob Weigod, the Southern Section has a jurisdiction that is larger than most states in America's high school sports jurisdiction. Yes. So there's really no way, and frankly, I don't think they even have the authority for them to put out a blanket statement. The one thing I do want to say, the only organization that could do that would be the CIF State Office, and they do have a meeting scheduled for March 17th.
And the CIF State has already canceled the state basketball championships
that were happening in Sacramento this weekend. Those are done. They're not going to do them. So the State Office is going to have a meeting with the heads of all of the sections, including the Southern Section, Rob Weigod, which, as we said, by far the biggest section. They will decide on the 17th, are we shutting high school sports in California down? League games, non-league games, championships. And we'll see. That gives us 5 days to see where the momentum on this story is going. Weigod, but in Long Beach, between now and the 17th, we're going on with these more league games.
Weigod also said, as of this moment, there is no plan by the CIF Southern Section to create, cancel, or reschedule upcoming events. Again, the individual school site administrators and their leadership will guide you, obviously, because that's who they're putting it on. And also, the contact between the state office, like you and I just mentioned, they are obviously in contact with the state office, because anything the state decides, the sections will then have to adhere to. So obviously they're listening to them. But basically the CIF Southern Section is saying, we're not going to do anything.
Right.
We're not canceling. We're not moving stuff. That's not our spot. So
if they had their basketball championships this Saturday, it would be up to them. Or if their spring championships were a little bit closer, I think that would be their decision. But those are the only things they actually administer. Other than that, they're sort of like the bank teller at your bank, like, or they're the ATM. Like, I'm not making any decisions about this. I'm just passing it from one person to the institution. Right. That's sort of what the CIF is in this scenario. So that's. That's high school. I think
we will have some weird video, photos, reactions, and all that stuff to playing in front of no spectators, playing in front of a limited amount. You know, maybe somebody's parent says, I don't think that kid should go to school, and you're missing your best player for a game. All of these things are possible. We will be covering all of this stuff because, as Mike said earlier, sports is sports. But sports is also human interaction.
Yeah.
So human interaction hopefully will never cease.
But it is under a microscope right now.
We're going to continue to cover human interaction, which is, in essence, local sports.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that's our prep level updates. I think we're kind of in a holding pattern still at the junior college level. I think a decision will be made at that state level probably today, it sounds like, today or tomorrow. But at the moment,
parts of the LBCC campus have already been shut down, correct?
Yes. But in terms of sports and stuff like that, you know, we'll see. Now to talk about college sports and keep it really local, Long Beach State shut down. I mean, and this happened in degrees very quickly. You and I woke up today, Thursday morning, thinking we're going to go cover the Big West tournament with no spectators allowed at the Honda Center. Then the Big East, all these tournaments start shutting down. You go, writing's on the wall. Sure enough, the Big West cancels.
Yeah.
So I go, okay, Long Beach State, while the campus isn't technically being closed, they're just suspending classes. So
the dorms are still open, the library's still open.
Yeah, and they've asked us to make that point, which is a fair point. So like they're not kicking kids out, but they're not saying, hey, you all have to get into a room together, right? Long Beach State, the plan was then, okay, they're still having sports are going to be open on campus, but, and then they said, okay, sports will be open, but with a very limited fan list. And then today the Big West Conference issued the edict. Nope. Sports are shut down for the spring. And I mean, for the spring, like there's technically a reevaluation period, but it sounds like they're done. We got a chance to talk to Andy Fee, the athletic director at Long Beach State. He said, quote, everything here is shut down immediately and indefinitely. All competition, whether it's non-conference or Big West, No competition across all sports, and we will be ceasing practice. All recruiting travel will be suspended. He said, quote, "We are in uncharted territory," to the extent that the Dirtbags literally had just landed in New Orleans to go play their series at Tulane.
And the news happened
the phone call.
The news happened while they were in the air.
Get back, stay at the airport. You're coming home.
So they just flipped it right around. I've got a call scheduled with Coach Eric Valenzuela later today. So we'll definitely
when he finishes his second long plane flight.
Also, when he like lets his mind rest a little bit, like you know, obviously there are bigger fish to fry. But
well, let's,
there's also
let's, yeah, let's,
like, you know what I mean? There's also like these emotional things as well. Like,
yeah, let's talk through what else they're shutting down and what the timeline is on that. And then we'll get into some of these storylines, because I think that's what, to me, that's what the, that's where the heart of the story
is.
But
there is no timeline.
So the timeline is that there will be a, they're going to continuously evaluate it. The one thing I think is worth noting is that Andy said, if they get an all clear from the conference, and this will be a constant communication between the conference office and the heads of the universities. So that means not Andy Fee, but Jane Connolly. So the heads of the universities in the Big West and the conference will be talking. Andy said if they get a green light, there would then be a 7 to 10 day ramp up period where the teams would be allowed to start practicing it. Because right now, literally, if kids are getting physical therapy for injuries and stuff, the training room is open, but the gym is closed.
Right.
You can't go lift weights in the pyramid. So there'd be 7 to 10 days for them to ramp it up. But you know, I would say if you're asking me how long do we think that's going to be, I said to Andy, you know, we talked to him for a little bit and I said, I'm just going to be honest with you, from the tone of your voice, you sound to me like you're done for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, quote, "My gut says this is not 3 weeks and back to business as usual. I wish that was the case, but I don't see it." So I think this is it. I mean, they haven't officially canceled spring sports. Like, we don't know for sure that we've seen the last of the Dirtbags this year.
Right. They canceled the basketball tournament. They suspended spring sports.
Correct. But my gut would be absolutely. I mean, I think we'd need to see a really big reversal very quickly for them to be able to salvage any of this stuff.
Well, I made this point a couple days ago. If the government itself can't figure out what's going on, who's going to give...
We can't even test people.
Who's going to give Jane Connolly the go-ahead?
Correct.
Who's going to give the Big West the go-ahead? How are we actually going to know when it's safe?
We can't test people.
We can't test, so how are we going to know?
The four people who've
been... This is not going to end anytime soon.
No. And I think everyone should prepare for that. And so let's talk about that a little bit. You mentioned the NCAA tournament for men's and women's basketball has been canceled. Baseball season, all this stuff has not technically been canceled, but it doesn't feel like it's likely that it's going to go on in any meaningful way. My heart genuinely breaks, man. Like,
yeah.
I think it's easy to say, you mentioned it, a lot of people could say, hey, we're worried about a global pandemic. Who cares about sports? But, you know, you and I, what's fun about this job, and we posted on our Twitter and Facebook, like, we've been there for so many of these once-in-a-lifetime moments. They are there once-in-a-lifetime. You can't get them back. Like,
Your senior year is your senior year. Nobody's freaking Steve Holt out there, bro.
I think about KJ Fagan grinds for 4 years on a crappy Santa Clara team, Long mm-hmm. Beach Poly grad transfer to San Diego State, helps lead them on a 25-0 start. They're a top-five team in the country. And, you know, his coach had to call him into the locker room and say, "You're done. Your basketball career is over."
No.
And the thing that you dreamed about for your whole life of participating in, it's not happening.
Yeah. Not only the college kids, the high school kids. Like, college kids, let's say, you know, KJ Fagan, for example, has gotten another year of eligibility to go play with San Diego State.
No, he's done.
No, but what I'm saying is after
saying
his time
possible.
At Santa Clara, he went to San Diego State.
Right.
There's not a high school baseball player thinking, "Oh, this is fine. I'll just come back for my fifth year next year." You know, I feel even worse for the high school seniors who have a life ready for them waiting in the summer. They've got kids. These kids know where they're going to school already next year. And this last moment of high school sports, they're really, honestly, their lives. Like, if you're a high school athlete, we don't have to tell you how much time and effort goes into being a high school athlete. Like, really, their lives just got put on a hold that they just can't see. They can't see it in front of their face, but like it's stopped. And that's where my heart breaks, is because, man, I can't tell you how many times I dreamt of my senior year of high school football before it actually happened.
Right.
I can't even imagine having that dream shattered.
You think of Jason Smith at Long Beach State, who's in Albuquerque to compete in the NCAA championships for track and field. And he and his head coach, Andy Seith, are getting on a plane and coming home. You know, I mean, like you said, stuff people have worked for their whole lives. And this could reach as far as the Olympics. Like, there's no word on that, dude. But the biggest thing is in sports.
I don't think it's possible to have the Olympics this year.
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible.
I totally agree. But I just, these are things that went through wars. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
and managed to continue to be contested. So it's really difficult to wrap your head around. Now, let's talk about what the alternative was, because I did cover the first game in the country that was played with no spectators. The first game of the Big West tournament, Long Beach State women's basketball versus Cal Poly. And it was bizarre, man. I wrote a story about it for the Post. We wrote a story about it for the Post. Really happy it's been really well received and kind of found a little bit of a national audience. But, like, it was the strangest thing I've ever seen. And I have to say, as bummed as I am that I won't have any NCAA tournament to watch while we're potentially quarantined at home all next week, like, the kids who are heartbroken that they're not getting to play these games, they're right to be heartbroken, but man, it was a weird experience, you know, and it's in the article, but like, you have girls shooting free throws where when everyone's standing there waiting for them to shoot the free throw, you can hear Sam Farber saying on the ESPN broadcast, she shoots 65% from the line, you know, I mean, because like, there's no noise. They did a national anthem to an empty stadium. Mm. They did player intros to an empty stadium. Some seniors for Long Beach State played the last game of their college sports career with no one there, you know?
Yeah.
No concessions.
That ain't it. That ain't it.
I personally, and I said this at the game, and I was talking about this with Josh Fry, a guy we covered at Millican and Long Beach State, who's now coaching at Bosco. He was like, you know, they can't cancel this stuff. And I was like, Josh, I would have kind of agreed with you before I covered this game, but having been to the game, dude, you don't want to go out like this either.
That's not,
you
know what I mean? That's not what sports are about. Sports are about
the crowd is part of the game. Crowd
and community. You know what I mean?
Even if it's 30 people in the stands, the crowd is part of the game. Yes. And when you remove that element, probably the craziest quote I've ever gotten, which got a huge wow out of you, was Cal Poly coach Faith Mimnaugh saying, you know, I asked both the coaches in the press conference, how do you think this affected the game?
Yeah.
Jeff Kamen from Long Beach State goes, you know, it was a shock. Our kids were really shocked, but it's our home gym. You know, I don't think that really was why we lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the heart to tell him that 20 minutes before that, Cal Poly coach Faith Mimnaugh said, yeah, it had a pretty big effect on the game. I could hear their coaches' play calls, and we were able to tell our team what they were going to do. That's a pretty big effect on the game, you know?
Yeah.
You could hear
the only acceptable sign stealing in sports.
Right. It's not stealing if they give it to you.
It's true.
When the refs would huddle to say, who is it off of? You could hear them talking, you know?
Like, yeah.
It was a bizarre scene. And, I'm kind of glad I'll admit on a personal level, my heart breaks for these kids. I'm bummed for us. I'm glad that we're not doing a half measure. You know, because the half measure to me was not a half measure. It was a 5% measure, and it was not worth the – it wasn't worth – I don't think that highly of the Big West tournament, as you know. That game was not worthy of being –
I think a lot of people do.
No, but that game was not worthy of being called a Big West tournament game, even for me not thinking that that's like a sacrosanct thing. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But even within that game, then, you think about the storylines that are lost. Cal Poly goes into that game as the 8 seed. They're the lowest seeded team in the tournament.
Bro, they won on Wednesday,
they
too.
They knock off Long Beach State. Then they win on Wednesday. And suddenly, they're going to the Honda Center.
Stomped Irvine on Wednesday, too.
So, I mean, and they're playing. They had their best girl scored 30. Their second best player scored 20. Like, they're humming. And then, you know, Faith Mimnaugh gets the call. Like, your season's over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. The whole thing's unthinkable, but I'll say this. If you're thinking they should have continued to play these games in an empty arena, I'm telling you, as someone who watched one of those games in an empty arena, it's worse than you're imagining it would be.
Yeah, it's worse, and it's also, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Counterproductive? You know what I mean? Like,
I can't quite find the right words
for it.
You're
not creating a good feel.
No.
Like, the whole point of the tournament was to create a better, more positive feel about the Big West Conference and its basketball.
Right.
That was the whole idea. I mean, also make some money, but
it feels
that's the whole idea, right? And then, like, if you have that thing with no, couldn't you imagine how weird it would have been to be in Honda Center with nobody in there. And of course, we've made the jokes.
18,000 empty seats.
We've made the jokes that Honda Center was never full for these men's basketball games, but listen, obviously. But listen, like, that's a different thing.
Again, I mean, so many idiots made the joke like, oh, people never go to the Big West Women's Tournament. Fair enough, dude. I've covered Big West Women's games where there's like 50 to 100 people there. But you know what? The difference, as someone who was there, the difference between 150 or 50 or 100 and zero is way bigger than you'd think it would be. It's just totally different.
It's eerie.
It was creepy. Yeah. My skin was just kind of crawling the whole time, man. Like,
yeah, because you also know why no one's there.
Right.
You're very well aware why the stands are empty.
And the whole thing is kind of Mask of the Red Death. Like, I don't know if you read Edgar Allan Poe, but it just felt like something, like outside, everything is sort of roiling, mm-hmm. and in here we're just pretending like we're just have these 10 kids running around playing basketball,
yeah.
and we're pretending that it means something, and we're pretending that it's regular, and of course it's not regular. You know, I mean, the whole thing is just
at this point, nothing's regular.
No, and there's no, and I think it's
for anybody to pretend otherwise is just
they're fooling
dumb.
Themselves. They're just fooling dumb. Themselves, you know. And I just like, let's pull the Band-Aid off. If we can't do it, we can't do it. I feel bad that the Cal Poly kids don't get to continue their run. I was looking forward to watching them at the Honda Center. We were looking forward to seeing Drew Buggs play at the Honda Center with Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Everything his family's been through this year. We were looking forward to seeing Long Beach State try and go up against Irvine tonight. But like, those are the things that you have to let go, man. And again, for people who think that the half measure is good enough, it's a little bit like, you know, your parents are divorced and your younger sibling is like, well, if they just, you know, if we could all have dinner together or if dad would move back in or something, and you're trying to explain to them, like, it won't be the way you're imagining it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You can't reclaim what's sort of been lost in this process. And again, like, I can't imagine. It makes me sick to my stomach to think about an NCAA tournament game, a Sweet 16 game or something.
No one in there?
Being played the way that I saw that Big West tournament game. Mm-mm. You can't do it.
No way. And that's not just because we want to agree with LeBron James. I would have said that from the get. You can't have sporting events like that, the big sporting events, the NBA, the NHL, the NCAA tournament, with no stands.
It's just... Ugh.
Just play it at Venice Beach if you're going to do that.
Yeah. So I don't know. So I feel that the decisions made so far have been good. Like I said, we said our
heart
breaks. Well,
necessary. I wouldn't say they're good
to.
Decisions. I would say that they're necessary decisions. Right. Because we would love for the decision to be, hey, we actually have tests that we can give people. We really know how long this thing's going to last. Here's our game plan for the future. That's not what this is. This is a stop everything you're doing until we figure out what's going on, which is really the only option at this point. And when you look at the way other countries are dealing with it, and they're looking at America just getting it right now, thinking and saying to themselves and publicly, man, I wish we could have done differently 2 weeks ago. This is what they would have done.
Right.
This is what those other countries would have done if they knew what was about to happen in 2 weeks. They would have shut down all sports 2 weeks ago. They would have kept people away from large gatherings 2 weeks ago. They weren't able to do that. We are able to do that, and we should all kind of, in a way, support these decisions and not complain about something that, like, again, I already said this, we can't see it.
Right.
We can't see it, so there's nothing really to be mad at.
Right. So all we can do is follow the guidelines and hope that hope it is overblown. Like I said, hopefully Americans
are
suddenly amazingly resistant to this thing.
That'd be great.
We don't go through what Italy and China went through. Great. That's what we're all rooting for. I'm
obviously
not hoping that this will be a disaster. I've got about $40 in the stock market, but I lost 15% of that $40. You know what I mean? Like, no one here is rooting for a disaster, but we're living in the world that we're living in. You can't change it. You can only adapt to it and try and change along with it enough that you're not the tree that gets snapped in half by the strong wind.
Yeah, and I think that the Long Beach Unified School District, Long Beach State, the Big West, I think they are doing what is necessary at this point to make sure that the people...
3:03 p.m. on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, to make sure that the people involved in their institutions are safe. Isn't that what we want from our institutions?
Yes. So, do we have anything else to talk about? We can talk about Athlete of the Week.
Can we talk about a little bit of sports?
Hopefully not our last Athlete of the Week that we do at the 562.org. But we do have, this is from last week's sports, we have 5 Athletes of the Week. We have at least one banked for next week so far, a boys volleyball player. And we'll see if these swim meets and stuff really do happen tomorrow. We'll have a few more. But from last week, we start with volleyball with Nico Yamaleava, who made a very impressive debut as a freshman for the Long Beach Poly boys volleyball team in a win over Lakewood in four sets on the road. Nico had 18 kills, 11 digs, 3 blocks, 2 aces. I'm saying the volleyball talent that's coming into Long Beach right now, you see these kids as ninth graders and you're like, I've seen 2 seniors that were better than you in 13 years.
I was trying to think of a parallel of another sport where we saw such an influx of talent that changed everything. And really the only thing I could think of was soccer, but soccer happened over a long period of time. It was not just 1 year where you're like, oh, Long Beach is good at soccer now.
You just walked in and there was 3 national team players as ninth graders. I mean, it's just absolutely insane.
Which is really cool too, because as we've always said, Long Beach, it's a volleyball town.
Well, right. And I mean, I just love seeing these super talented kids staying home. Another one of them you got to cover on the diamond, JJ.
Yeah, we talked about JJ last week. Juliana Babor is the freshman catcher for the Wilson Bruins. They came up with a massive upset of defending champion Lakewood Lancers last week. We talked about it. She hit 2 home runs in that game, 4 RBIs, 3 runs. It's her first game. It's her Moore League debut as a freshman. And if you want to listen to her and pitcher Haley Houston talk about their performance, you can listen to last week's What Up Long Beach, because we've got them on tape and it's very hard to tell which one is the junior and which one is the freshman.
Yeah, she's special for sure. Keeping it at Wilson, Matt Schaefer, a golfer, younger brother of Wilson great Tyler Schaefer.
Shout out to the whole Schaefer
family. Shout
out
to the Schaefies.
Honestly, they have been supporting us since long before we were with anybody we were with right now.
Right.
I mean, back when we were doing the reports from Long Beach Little League's World Series that they were doing against teams from New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania, when they would fly out to Little Rec and we'd cover that thing like it was the match play day of the Ryder Cup. They were still supporting us back then. So shout out to the whole Schaefer family. And Matt's going to be special, dude. It's going to be a lot of fun to cover another Schaefer out there, because they don't show their emotion, but when they do, it roars.
There's a lot. He had a 4-under par round of 68 in the Ayala Spring Classic, and also led them to a win over Santa Margarita.
Dude's averaging under 72. He's averaging an under par round. He's a high school golfer. That's crazy.
What year is he?
That is absolutely crazy.
Do you know what year he is?
He is a sophomore this year, I believe.
That's crazy. Okay, the Ashley Lewis, a senior at Long Beach Poly girls basketball player, led Poly in their 2 state games last week. One of them, which feels like 100 years ago, JJ.
Yes.
One of them, an upset over Mater Dei, which somehow was 8 days ago. she had 12 points in that one, 12 points and 8 rebounds. Then she had 12 points and 12 rebounds in a loss to Windward. And lastly, we go to the Lax. We go to the lacrosse field, where Lassen Felix from Milliken had a great game to lead the Rams to a win over Wilson. He had 5 goals along with 2 assists and 3 recovered ground balls. That keeps Milliken in a first place tie with Poly, both teams undefeated in this first ever boys lacrosse season that I hope we get to play out, you know, and see how it shakes out.
For a very quick reset, the sports here in Long Beach are kind of on hold, but they are going to still go at the 562.org. You can't go to these games. No spectators allowed at Long Beach Unified School District Sporting Events, a.k.a. the Moore League, but we're going to have you covered at the 562.org. Mike, myself, some of our freelancers are going to be out getting all of the coverage so that you don't miss anything, because you don't want to miss anything, right? And the kids who are playing want you to see that. That's why we're here. So make sure you stay tuned to the website, the Twitter, the Facebook, everything, even the stuff here at Long Beach Post, to make sure that you don't miss any of the action and also the news. As fast as this stuff has happened,
we will keep
more
you
things
up to
can
date.
Happen
we're talking to everyone all
just
the time.
As quickly. Like, stay up to date with us, because we will keep you up to date. So, for Mike and for JJ and for everybody else out here in Long Beach, please, y'all, stay safe, wash your hands.
Stay healthy.
We will see you, not in the stands, but when all of this calms down.
We'll see you on the internet.